Let's continue reading verses 3 through 6 of Ephesians chapter 1. Now in these verses, the Apostle Paul begins to list the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. All Scripture is the revealed Word of God, right? Now, we believe that while all Scripture is the revelation of God, the New Testament is certainly further and fuller revelation from God than the Old Testament. Now, let me ask you this question. Now, where in the New Testament do we find the ultimate revelation of the heart and mind of God? I think we would have to agree that it's in the epistles of Ephesians and Colossians. In Colossians, we have the person and work of Christ fully revealed. The doctrine of the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Christ is the theme of Colossians, that wonderful book of Scripture. Here in Ephesians, we have the full revelation of the believer's position in Christ. Not only have we been saved, but we've been exalted in Christ and enthroned with Christ in the heavenlies. Look at chapter 2 and verse 6. God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Only in Ephesians do we learn this wonderful truth, that we have not only been saved from our sins, not only identified with Christ in His death and resurrection, but only in Ephesians do you get this wonderful, great truth that we are actually ascended with Christ. As far as our position in Christ goes, we are exalted with Christ, enthroned in heaven. Notice that verse 3 is a doxology. Let's read that again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We are informed in this burst of praise that believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what are these heavenly places or heavenly realms that are mentioned here? The term heavenly places is used a number of times in Ephesians, as we'll see. In fact, 5 times. It does not refer to heaven itself, but rather to the spiritual realm or spiritual sphere into which we're brought as a result of our salvation and position in Christ. Now, verse 3 says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We may or may not be blessed with earthly blessings, like good health and long life. That is not guaranteed to the Christian. But here's the point. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There is not a spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer that is not yours already, if you're a believer here this morning. Now, what are these spiritual blessings? Paul begins to list them in verse 4. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point, which is believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. The list of our spiritual blessings in Christ goes from verse 4 through verse 14. Now, we'll look at the first two this morning in verses 4 through 6. Namely, our election, verse 4, and our sonship, verses 5 and 6. In fact, we'll make these two blessings two subpoints under our doctrinal point. So, subpoint A, our spiritual blessing of election, verse 4. Just as God chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that's quite a blessing, isn't it? To be chosen of God. We were lost because of sin. We deserved nothing but the judgment of God. But God, in his grace, chose us for salvation. He elected us for salvation. And not only to forgive us of our sins, but to be holy and blameless and in the sphere of his love forever. Wow, what a blessing. Why did he choose us? Well, it can't be because we chose him first. No, because the verse says he chose us before the foundation of the world. That's long before we could even make a choice. Well, you say, maybe God looked down the corridors of time and foresaw what choice we would make and then rubber-stamped us elect. The problem with that supposed solution is that now you're saying that God is not fully omniscient, that he doesn't fully know everything. If God had to somehow foresee what choice we would make and then elect us on that basis, we are essentially saying that there was a time when God didn't know what choice we would make. That is, he didn't know before he foresaw. But God is omniscient. He always knows everything. He's outside of time. He's not bound by time. Everything for him is in the present. He is the I am. Therefore, if he knows, he chose. Hear it once again. Therefore, if he knows, he chose. Not on the basis of our choosing him, but on the basis of his sovereign grace. It's as simple as that, folks. Now, when I say simple, I don't mean it's easy to understand. In fact, it's beyond our finite comprehension. Remember, the Bible also teaches the full responsibility of mankind. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. And you can't blame God if you don't make that choice. And the Bible never teaches that God elects or rubber stamps anyone for hell. People go to hell because they don't choose God. Now, how these two doctrines, the full sovereignty of God on the one hand, and the full responsibility of mankind on the other, how these two doctrines fit together is beyond us, but they are both true. Our minds are finite. These truths and how they are fully harmonized is beyond what our finite minds can comprehend. The point, of course, is that our election is a wonderful spiritual blessing. Subpoint B, our spiritual blessing of sonship. Our spiritual blessing of sonship. Verses 5 and 6. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Predestination and election are not exactly the same concept, although they certainly overlap. Election has to do more with the who, and predestination has more to do with the what. Believers were predestined to be adopted as sons in the family of God. That's the blessing that we have before us here. Believers were predestined to be adopted as sons in the family of God. Now, the idea of adoption here, the idea here is from first century home and family life. When a true son reached an age of maturity, he went through an adoption ceremony whereby he was now recognized as a son with all the rights and privileges of sonship. That's the idea here. Believers have been born into the family of God, not only as true sons, but we have all the rights and privileges of sonship. The Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hebrews 2, verse 11. What a spiritual blessing. Have you appreciated this spiritual blessing? This spiritual blessing of sonship? That you are, as an individual, not just as a group here, but as an individual, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. you have the spiritual blessing of sonship. Notice again that it's not given because of anything we've done or anything intrinsically good in us. No, it's according to the good pleasure of His will, verse 5, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, verse 6. I don't know why me, but I know that I will be forever grateful for the spiritual blessings of my election and sonship. Believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. What about practical application? Do you really understand what it means to be accepted in the Beloved? Do you really understand what it means to be accepted in the Beloved? In verse 6, we read that we have been blessed with God's grace or accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved here, of course, is our Lord Himself. He is the Beloved Son. He is the Son of God's love. And all our blessing comes to us because God sees us as inseparably linked with His Beloved Son. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now, do you really understand that concept? Maybe this illustration will be helpful. When I was attending Rutgers University in New Jersey, I commuted each day in a less than conservative looking 49 Ford convertible. That's the best way I can describe the looks of this hot car at that time. I was always being pulled out of the even flow of traffic and given tickets by the traffic police, who didn't like the way my car looked or sounded. Well, I finally worked up enough demerit points so that I received an official letter telling me that I had to go down to Trenton, the state capital, for a hearing and possibly have my driving license revoked. I went down there with fear and trembling. I even wore my Army ROTC uniform, hoping to make a good impression on the judge. Well, he was just about to take away my license when he asked me about my uniform. Well, I told him I was going to Rutgers University. I was in the ROTC unit there. At that point, he named another student and asked me if I knew this student. I not only knew this other student, but he was in the same unit as I was. Well, guess what? This was his son. You can't believe how the atmosphere in that office changed. He even got up and came around and shook my hand. Needless to say, I didn't have my license taken away. But guess what? We talked. What do you think the theme was? What do you think the subject was? We talked about his son. I was accepted in the Beloved. I was accepted in his Beloved Son. That's what made the difference. Do you see the point of the illustration? When we become Christians, we are related to God's Beloved Son, and we are thus accepted in the Beloved. What a wonderful truth. Maybe this illustration will help you to understand what it really means to be accepted in the Beloved.